Hi, I'm Adam Sanford. I'm an academic life coach and professor in Los Angeles.
And I'm Dinur Bloom. I'm a college professor in Los Angeles.
And this is Learning Made Easier, a podcast where we discuss how we learn and how we teach and how they overlap. Welcome back to Learning Made Easier. This is episode 61, The Myth of Multitasking. We are all pushed to do more with less time these days, but is that actually realistic? In this episode, Dinur and I are going to talk about why people think multitasking is good, why it's actually not, and what to do instead.
Our society today is amazingly fast-paced. Everyone feels the pressure to do more, be more, have more, and show more. Our jobs are fast-paced, and the demand for quick results is constant. We hit the ground running the moment we wake up, and nothing slows down until we finally go to bed. Even our meals are rushed. Instead of taking the time to eat and appreciate what we're eating, we wolf down a sandwich while we're at our desk poking at a spreadsheet or working on a report.
Now, with this backbeat of hurry, hurry, hurry in our lives, it's hardly a surprise that we'd look for ways to use our time more and more and more efficiently. And this leads to the idea that multitasking is possible and even good. Multitasking is the idea that we can do more than one thing at the same time and thus get more work done faster. And we've all tried it, watching a video on YouTube while also working on a paper, for example. But most of us eventually discover that, well, we aren't good at it at all. In fact, research shows that the people who think they're the best multitaskers are actually the worst.
And our culture doesn't help here. Job ad after job ad specifies the ability to multitask as a requirement. If we can't keep 9 balls in the air while our neighbor's only juggling 8, we feel like failures. We also multitask because of FOMO, fear of missing out. We're worried that if we don't do everything, we'll end up doing nothing. And the constant bombardments from advertising and media increase that worry.
Now, James Clear has a great article on multitasking, and we'll link to it in the show notes. In this article, he points out that the word priority, that used to mean the most important thing, singular, one thing. But somewhere along the line, probably when the industrial age hit, we made the word priority into a plural word. And we began to imagine that we could have several most important things at the same time. And once we got computers that could run 3 or 4 programs at once, we developed the idea that we could work on 3 or 4 projects or tasks at once.
This is, quite frankly, ridiculous. There are several reasons why. First, our brains are not computers. Your brain isn't made of silicon and it doesn't run logically. It runs by association. You're not a mainframe. You are a person. Second, computers are only focusing on one thing at a time. They just do it so quickly that we can't see them jumping from one task to the next. And unlike human brains, computers don't pay a big cost for switching from one task to another.
The problem is, human brains do. It's called the switching cost. Every time we stop what we're doing and we move to a different task, it takes a toll on our brains. It screws up what we're doing, and it takes about a minute for us to move on with our work after we try to switch from one task to another. For example, checking email has been shown in research to rob us of 64 seconds of productive time every time we do it.
But Adam, and I hear you protesting. I can eat dinner and read my textbook at the same time. Yes, you can, but that's because you're eating on autopilot. You can brush your teeth and read a book too. Can also walk across campus and listen to a podcast, because for most people, walking or brushing your teeth are autopilot activities. You could even drive to school and listen to your textbook on tape, since driving becomes a mostly autopilot task after a while.
And I've had students tell me this. And when they say, I can eat dinner and read my textbook, I will ask them, what did you have for dinner? And they're like, I don't know. Exactly. It's not something you remember. Can you read a book and understand what it's saying and pay attention to the podcast you're listening to at the same time? No, you can't. So multitasking, this ability to do more than one thing at a time, is actually limited to doing one or two or maybe three things on autopilot and doing one thing that you're concentrating on or focusing on. So if you're trying to focus on two things at the same time, your brain is paying an enormous switching cost as it tries to keep track of both the history textbook's discussion of Reconstruction and the podcast's discussion of how the calculus equation that's doing dirt to you actually works. And that's going to wear you out in no time. Worse, you're not going to retain much, if any, of the information you're trying to absorb.
By the way, this is also why you cannot surf the web and pay attention in class at the same time, even if you think you can. At some point, something gets lost. And multitasking actually slows us down as we switch from one task to another. It also makes it more likely that we'll make mistakes because we're not actually focusing on what we're doing, since our attention is split between two or three or four or more tasks. You're more likely to make mistakes. Remember the trade-offs that Adam and I talked about doing work quickly, correctly, and stress-free? If you're multitasking, you're working quickly. Well, you're working frantically.
Yeah.
And you're not necessarily working correctly or stress-free. So is the illusion of speed really worth this stress?
Multitasking also makes it less likely that we'll be able to remember what we did later. And that is not good if you're a student who's trying to study for an exam at the same time you're doing homework for a different class, or if you're a professor trying to prep a lecture at the same time that you're responding to emails from a co-writer on an article for publication. Things stop sticking because of your switching. You keep on switching from task to task, and eventually you're going to end up answering something on the exam in your history class from the homework you were doing for calculus. That's not going to make any sense. I remember when I was in high school, one time I had to study both for an English grammar test and a German test. You want to know how many German words ended up on my English test? About six. You want to know how many English words ended up in the essay I had to write in German? Let's not go there, okay? Why? Because I just couldn't remember them in that moment, and the other class popped up in my head. So what does work if multitasking doesn't work?
According to an article on health.com, which we'll put in the show notes, the best thing you can do for yourself is monotasking. This means focusing on one task or one type of task at a time. If you're going to answer email, make that the only thing you're doing. If you're studying for a test, close your browser windows and chat programs. Here's a quote from that article. What tends to save the most time is to do things in batches. Pay your bills all at once, then send your emails all at once. Each task requires a specific mindset, and once you get in a groove, you should stay there and finish.
So this might be if you have two different math classes, and you know, for example, from other things that we've talked about in the past, that your brain clicks along really well for math at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, then sit down with your calculus class and your differential equations class or whatever it is, and do that because that's when math is working for you, but don't try to write a paper at that time. And if you know you've got essays in three different classes and you know your writing gears click in the morning at like 7 o'clock in the morning, then sit down with them and set like an hour for each one. So you're gonna do an hour of writing on your English classes paper, and then you're going to take a little break, and then you're going to write an hour on your history paper and take a little break, and then you're going to maybe take a lunch at that point, and then take another hour and work on your paper for economics. If you're doing that batch job, then, all right, the kind of work you're doing. So you're not doing the history and the English and the economics all at the same time, but you're doing all the writing work when writing work works well. Now, another strategy that article suggested is called Ohio, only handle it once. Now, this may work better in some areas of your life than others. For students, you're going to have to go through your notes multiple times when you're preparing for a test, and you can't do a paper in one sitting. But the idea is that when you're going to, say, reply to email, sit down, reply to all of them, and get them out of the way at once, and then don't look at email again until the next day. Set an hour to just do your email, and that's it. Move on. Take that research paper, divide it up into sections, and once you're done with a section, you're done with it. Don't go back and fiddle with it until the entire paper is ready for you to edit for the second draft, which is technically a different task. For folks who are professors, for the instructors among us, batch job your grading. Say, I'm going to grade 10 essays right now, and that's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to grade essays and check my email and have a video in the background. I'm just going to have my essays. Now, I've had students ask, well, what if I'm listening to music? Well, that depends. Are you using it as background, or are you actively listening to the music? For some people, having music of various kinds helps with processing. For some people, it doesn't. So I would say, if you're just listening to some peppy music to help you get in a mindset to do math, that's fine. But if you're trying to also dissect, say, a Broadway musical for your music appreciation class, then you got to focus on that music that you're listening to. You can't also be writing an essay at the same time. So only handle it once. Do one kind of thing at a time. And in that time, do one thing at a time.
Finally, if you're feeling FOMO, it might be time to look at why. Why is it important that you're doing what you're doing? Why does it matter? Use that five rule we talked about. If you don't do this thing, will it matter in 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 days, weeks, months, or years? If it won't matter, why are you doing it? Why does it matter? Adam and I just introduced you to the acronym of OHIO, and we'd like to introduce you to another one, DIME, Discover Important and Meaningful Experiences. When you DIME, you're finding the moments that actually matter, that you'll vividly remember later and look back on. These mean something beyond what just happened in that moment. And this is a new way of looking at the world, but it also allows you to find what's actually important to you and what's really not. Just because all your friends are buying the newest fad doesn't mean you have to if you look at the world with a DIME mindset. The pressure to do everything fades when you look not for what's newest or best or most popular, but rather what's most meaningful to you and memorable.
When you DIME, and this is an acronym that Denor and I literally came up with for this episode, so this is ours. We looked for other acronyms that were the opposite of FOMO, but what we found was JOMO, which is the joy of missing out, and that's no better. FOMO is do everything, JOMO is do nothing. No, I'm not interested in not doing anything. We want something that mattered. And when we came up with DIME, we realized that the focus changes from doing more to doing better. Now, my husband and I are currently on a Babylon 5 kick, and we are in the fourth season. But during the third season, there's a major story arc about a character named Steven, and he's the medical doctor on the station. And he's been addicted to something called stims, which is basically amphetamines. Okay, it's represented as because he needs to be there all the time, because he feels like he's the chief of the medical office on the station, and he's got to be there all the time. He's continually injecting these stims, right? So then he decides he needs to resign his job and figure out, why is he an addict? Why does he need this? And so he goes on something called a walkabout. And the idea of the walkabout, as they express it in the show, is you walk until you meet yourself, and then you have a conversation with yourself to find out what the hell you're doing. What comes out of Steven's eventual conversation with his self, and it takes like 6 or 7 episodes, is he realizes, A, he didn't like himself very much, and B, he was covering up for not really knowing who he was by trying to do more and more and more and more and more, which sounds kind of like our society, where you don't look at who you are or what's important to you. You just keep doing more and more and more. And a friend of his, the chief of security, Garibaldi, says, well, what are you going to do? And he said, I'm going to work on doing things better. Because I was a jerk to everyone. I yelled at them all the time. I was overbearing and controlling, and I was just a jerk. And anytime I couldn't fix it, I got angry. So now I'm going to work on doing it better instead of doing more. I'm going to delegate more. I'm going to let other people have the chance to take some of the credit. And if you're a perfectionist, and which of us isn't, that's really hard to do. So when we talked about discover important and meaningful experiences, to me, focusing on doing better instead of doing more is really part of it. And we're also drawing on the ideas of the minimalists, which you can find at theminimalists.com. They talk about, remember that experiences are more important than things. And I think we're also kind of drawing on the ideas of Marie Kondo, the organizer, who says, look, if a thing that you have in your house doesn't bring you joy or serve a purpose, you probably don't need it in your life. FOMO is, I need everything all the time. I have to have all the things, all the stuff, all the ideas, all the experiences, all the everything. But when you choose quantity like that over quality, what you're doing is stressing yourself out. And multitasking is just a form of saying quantity is more important than quality. And that's never the case. That's never the case.
Adam and I are trying to preach the idea that you want to go for deeper learning, not just more surface learning. You're not just trying to accumulate sets of facts or sets of equations. you're trying to understand why these matter and how you can use them.
Also how they connect.
So we're really trying to emphasize this idea that it's deeper learning. We're not telling you to avoid all learning. We're telling you to learn differently, to learn more focused. Now, I think we should talk about some of our experiences with this.
Might be a good idea.
And the next time an episode of ours calls me out like this, I hope it sends a town car.
Right? Just at you next time, right?
Absolutely. But I'm calling myself out with this episode because I tend to multitask by cycling through a few projects in a day, and I'll jump back and forth between them. So as we record this episode, I'm currently working on drafts of 2 books and 3 co-author chapters, and I'm working on class preps. And I'm working on dividing each project into distinct sections to handle each day. And I'm trying to train myself to focus on one section rather than trying to imagine the finished book or all 3 finished chapters whenever I sit down to work. I'm trying to reemphasize dedicated progress.
And I've given up my addiction to multitasking for the most part, although it was really bad in graduate school. But now I do sometimes feel guilty because I'm not doing enough. I keep busy, but I've mastered the ability of focusing on one thing at a time and reminding myself on the goal, do better on this one thing. I used to tell students, if you could find 10 1% ways to improve your writing, you've improved it by 10%. And that's kind of what I look at when I'm doing work. What are 10 different small things I can improve on to improve this thing? But in order to find 10 different small things to improve on, I can't be focusing on both this class's prep and this co-authored chapter. I have to do one or the other. I also find that I get more done when I'm doing one thing at a time. And I've had people ask me, how do you multitask? Because you must. And when I tell them I don't multitask, I get really confused looks and confused responses. They say, how can you get so much done if you're not multitasking? Well, I don't have a time turner like Hermione Granger from the Harry Potter books, who, by the way, is an awful example to follow because she was not just multitasking, but doubling up on her studies. I just do one thing at a time, and I find it's worked a lot better.
Now, the way students can use this is be honest with yourself. Why are you trying to multitask? Is it because you've overloaded yourself with things you have to do? Or is it because you're afraid you're going to miss out on something?
So if it's overload, you've got to pare down the obligations you've signed up for. And we've talked about this in several other episodes where we say, look, you know, if you have too much on your plate, there's no way you're going to be able to get anything done at a quality level. I've repeatedly had to talk to students who tell me, I have to finish within 2 years, or I have to finish by this spring. Why? Who said? Where is it written that you must finish in that amount of time? Really dig into this and ask yourself, why are you stressing out so much about it? You can't enjoy the academic process and get all those non-academic things that you're supposed to get out of the school experience if you are loading yourself down with 16 units and a time turner. You just can't. Now, if you're having FOMO, the fear of missing out, try to find the things that will be meaningful to you later. Will it matter 5 years from now that you did that particular internship? If it will, then do the internship. But if it won't, maybe that is time that could be better spent on other things that will. Remember DIME. Discover important and meaningful experiences.
Now, the way teachers can use this is to practice radical honesty with your students. Tell them if you multitask and how it works for you, but be honest about both the good and the bad parts of it. Demonstrate splitting up projects that you're working on into sections and what you want to get done by certain days. Because if you can develop a sense of togetherness in the classroom, then you and your students can encourage one another to take assignments, to take papers, projects, test reviews, one section at a time, and push each other to do better. Make your classroom a partnership, not an adversarial relationship. So that's what we have for you in episode 61. If you're finding this podcast helpful, please share it with your friends. We're always hoping to get new subscribers so we can help even more people. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Android. We're hosted on blueberry.com. Also, we would really appreciate it if you wrote a review of this podcast on Apple Podcasts.
And be sure to join us next week for episode 62, when we'll discuss why trying hard is not the same as working effectively. You've been listening to Learning Made Easier, a podcast about how we learn, how we teach, and how they overlap.
We want to say thank you to all of our supporters on Patreon who make this podcast possible.
If you want to support us, please go to www.patreon.com/learningmadeeasier.
We look forward to seeing you next week.